Our scripture lesson for today comes from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Reading from chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, listen to God's word for us today. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, Amen. I know there aren't many of us traveling these days, but you probably have traveled at some point in your life, and maybe during that travel you rented a rental car. If you did, either going into or out of the rental car lot, you probably drove over those spikes right by the exit or entrance. They're there to make sure that rental cars are not stolen out of the lot. The spikes collapse when you drive forward over them, but if you back up, the spikes will stay upright and cause, as the sign always says, severe tire damage. To read the book of Galatians is to witness Paul trying to spare people the damage that's caused by backing up. The Galatians seem to be easing their cars into reverse, and Paul's waving his arms, shouting, "No, don't do it." Paul has been expanding the message of the gospel to include the Gentiles, broadening the circle of those who are included in the good news, and the more diverse ways in which they can faithfully live as disciples. And along have come these new teachers who are shifting the church into a kind of reverse, demanding that everyone take on the same former, older laws and customs, rituals, and even culture as others, seeking uniformity rather than simply the unity of faith. Said another way, Paul is kind of like a parent who's given birth to this church, who's nurtured it through its infancy and adolescence, and then has kind of set it free out of the empty nest, like a free bird, so to speak. And now it turns out that that young adult seems to be making some terrible choices. Well, some of us probably had that experience as young adults or with our young adult kids. For me, it happened my sophomore year of college. I was at Whitworth University studying music education, and one day there was this traveling circus that came to our campus to perform. They set up in the football field, and because I had nothing better to do, I went down and sat in the stands to watch a performance by the Royal Liechtenstein Quarter Ring Sidewalk Circus. Yeah, that's a real thing. You can look it up later. And I was mesmerized by these young adults who came out and did amazing feats of juggling and acrobatics and told stories, and there were a few exotic animals thrown in as well. After their performance, I went down onto the field to talk to some of them, and I discovered, wonderfully, that they were accepting new applicants. They would welcome new people to join them every year. And so I decided right there and then that I would take a year out of college and I would travel the country with the Royal Liechtenstein Quarter Ring Sidewalk Circus. That night I called my parents and I told them about my plans. The next day they made the 4-hour drive up to Whitworth to meet me and to take me out to lunch, where my father informed me that I had made a commitment to get a bachelor's degree and I was going to finish that degree in 4 years. And then, after I'd finished my degree, I could do whatever I wanted, even if that meant running off to join the circus. As I look back now over that moment, I realize that there was a part of me, the sophomore me, that didn't trust that the guidance, the nurturing, the direction of my life was enough. I needed to do something more, something dramatic, to find meaning and purpose in life, to find acceptance. Now, admittedly, this story, this metaphor is a little whimsical, but I think it's also true that the young church in Galatia didn't trust that Paul's message of good news and the gift of grace offered to them in Jesus Christ was enough for their salvation, for the assurance that their lives, individually and corporately as a church, were claimed by God and that they were in God's favor. They had been led to believe by these new teachers that they needed to do something, something else, something more dramatic, something to fulfill someone else's expectations in order for them to be truly saved. These false teachers had swept into Galatia after Paul had left, and they had scorned Paul's salvation by grace alone message. Grace, they claimed, was pretty good. It gets you on the road of salvation, that's true, but if you really want to be saved, you've got to do a lot of other stuff in order to finally cross the finish line. In this case, they told them that they would need to get circumcised, keep kosher, watch your step, and follow all of these other rules. No doubt about it, Jesus began the process of salvation for you, but you've got to do a lot of stuff yourselves if you want to get the rest of the way. In contrast, Paul's message to the Galatians was that the gospel he received in a revelation from God was not a proclamation of rules that would buy one's way into the family of God. Instead, it was a proclamation of what God has already accomplished in Jesus Christ and continues to accomplish in us today. The reminder that already the Galatians were enough, that we are enough. Charles Kosar is the late professor of New Testament at Columbia Theological Seminary in Atlanta. As Dr. Kosar reflects on this passage, he writes, "Paul perceives how completely his readers have misunderstood the heart of the Christian faith. They are working at the wrong side of the end of the relationship with God. What they can do to assure inclusion in God's family, what they can do to cope with the power of the flesh, what they can do to fulfill the law. The answer, instead, lies at the other end of the equation, what God has already done in Jesus Christ and how God has done it, through grace, a word that occurs at 6 key points in the book of Galatians. It's not a thing or even a thing that God gives. Instead, it describes the way in which God gives himself for us. The word depicts the unmerited and unconditional way in which God has made and continues to make his move toward us in love." Kosar continues, "The preaching of Christ's gospel will inevitably convey God's grace, the word that God is for us. If there's ever to be a test for the true gospel, it's this. Does it declare that Jesus Christ is the unqualified liberator from our religious legalism, from secular cynicism, from paralyzing apathy or frantic anxiety, from being oppressed or from being the oppressor, from cowardly fear or from brash self-reliance?" As I read and have reflected on Dr. Kosar's words this week, I've wondered how it is we in our lives are trying to earn our way into God's favor. What is it that we think we have to do or to be in order to be counted among God's children? And interestingly, we find ourselves at a very curious intersection of our lives these days in this coronavirus era, where so many of the ways in which we might be trying to create our identity, our worth, to find meaning and purpose have been disrupted and upended. And so perhaps this moment, unlike any other, is a moment in which we can try to set all of those things aside and remember again our ultimate reliance on God's grace and love for us, especially because there's already so much in this time in our lives that's heartbreaking, exhausting, depressing, that especially now we shouldn't be trying to recreate those systems, those processes, those ladders to climb that try to create again for us this sense of worth in our lives. With so much already disrupted and discontinued, having to bear the weight of so many disappointments and distress, it's understandable that we are grasping for ways to regain our meaning and purpose, grasping for normal, grasping for the past, grasping for control over our lives and of the world around us. And I believe that we should name those aches, share the lament that we feel with God and with one another, and remember that ultimately we don't have to earn or achieve our worth or worthiness, not for God's sake or for anyone else's. We are claimed and called simply and exclusively by the grace of God. I hope this isn't just some feel-good, pop psychology, chicken soup for the soul message that I'm okay and you're okay. Because after all, there is also in our lives of faith a recognition that the evidence of our faith should produce fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Just to name a few, and which are so desperately needed in the world today. And that our decision to follow in the way of Christ will call us to act as the hands and feet of Christ, as vessels through which the good news of God's love will be shared with others. Yeah, all that's true as well. And yet, with all the burdens that we are already carrying in this particular season of our lives, I think that for today, the reminder that our salvation, our spiritual and mental and physical wholeness and well-being is sustained by the grace of God, that we experience in Christ's self-sacrificial love poured out for us all that is already enough. Paul's reminder to the church then and to us now that we have been called in the grace of Christ is enough. It's more than enough. It's all that we need to hear. It's what we desperately need to hear. So today I invite you to take a deep breath. And as you do, ask God to exhale with you the release of all your anxiety about the present moment and our very unknown futures. And then, as you inhale, receive the gift of God's grace for you. We don't have to earn it, achieve it, take on someone else's expectations or requirements to attain it. We don't have to run off and join the circus to find it. That grace, the assurance that God is already for us, loves us, is present alongside us. That alone, in all its profound and glorious and life-transforming truth, is what we need to give us the strength and courage to live today and into our future with hope. And together, to be the church of Christ in every age and in this day and age, as a beacon of Christ's light and love for all. Amen.